Good morning and welcome to Renovating in WA. I'm Sally Barker. Joining me on the show today is Sue Daly from Into Property and Laura Crosthwaite from Rees Plumbing, proud station sponsors. How are we?
Well, very well, thanks.
Now, we're still in the wet areas, the bathrooms, the kitchens, and maybe outdoor kitchens or pool area if we're lucky. Now, we're talking everything about fixtures and fittings. Now, we might just think it's an easy thing to do, but we can come across some pretty big problems if we don't do it right. Is that correct?
It is correct.
So, again, we're going to start again with plan it, research it, and make sure that you know what it is that you're choosing before you go ahead. Use your 3D plans to make sure everything's in the right place. And, of course, consider the practicalities over the aesthetics. So that's the first thing that you start doing. And probably the other thing is get your orders in as soon as you can.
Yeah, unfortunately WA comes under that whole wait a while thing, and we keep very little stock here in WA.
Is that right?
Most of it comes from over east, so there is a time factor involved. So don't come in and just think that you can take the goods away with you, because that's unlikely to happen, especially with larger items like vanity units and things which are made and we order them.
So I mean, we get that idea from watching those renovation shows, don't we?
Absolutely.
You can quickly run in and in 2 hours later you've got everything, and then you can go and smack it in.
Correct. It doesn't happen.
It doesn't happen.
Okay. I mean, there's a storage issue as well for companies that provide goods, in that they can only keep like smaller amounts of things. They can't keep big freestanding bars, vanity units in 100 different colours and shapes and sizes. So,
So what sort of time frame are we looking at once you've ordered?
Generally speaking, things 7 to 10 days to get stuff from over east, but sometimes with things like vanity units where you want a specific colour or a stone top or something, those do have to be made. So you're looking around 4 weeks to get one of those manufactured and then sent over to WA and arrive here on time.
And those items, of course, that aren't the common items, you know, whether they have to be ordered in or if they're, you know, from over east, not over east, over like international products that have to get brought in as well.
And one thing at the moment which is very popular is metallic colours.
Yes.
And those are definitely not on the shelf, even over east, because at this point there are so many colours and they don't know who is going to want what, so they are made when they are ordered.
Mm. Is that right?
So you're looking 6, 8, 10 weeks sometimes for tapware in a specialised colour, such as, you know, living tumbled brass or rose copper, gold, any of those type of things.
And those deliveries also tend to go eastern states and then have to be brought over to WA.
Right.
So the wait a while state waits always.
Oh, wow.
So, you've got to consider that factor.
So where is the main manufacturing country of these products?
Difficult question. Some is made in Australia, quite a limited amount now, because unfortunately it's much cheaper to manufacture overseas. A lot of it does come from the Asian countries, but all those items are made, if you go to a reputable place, those items are made to Australian standards.
Yes.
So, you know, some people think, oh, I'm not having that because it was made in China, but there's different sorts of made in China goods. That's the thing.
And then you've got all the European products that
a lot is still made in Europe. We import a lot from places like Spain, Germany, particularly is Italy.
Yes. And the Belgian goods as well. That's another area as well. But these are all ones that when you do order them, you've got to be prepared. So that's that planning stage, making sure you do. Michael mentioned the specification sheet. That's where you decide on your products at that time. And when you're working with a company, you actually get that order in. So you can actually take that specification sheet in and they can go through and go, right, we can get this in. This is the time frame, so that you can then let the plumbers know, your kitchen people know. It gives everyone an upgrade on where you are with your planning as well. The scheduling. Remember we mentioned the scheduling.
Yeah.
So having those deliveries, you schedule around those deliveries.
Yeah.
So is that something that can really hold the job up if you haven't planned correctly, you haven't scheduled when you need everything like that? Because then it's not only that, it pushes everything back.
Correct. Yeah. Pushes everyone, like Matt's, who's just been in and spoken about the plumbing. Yeah, it would delay them. There's that issue I said about having them to come out 2 or 3 times. If that product's not in for them right at the beginning to put a mixer into the wall, you can't do any tiling or anything until that mixes in the wall, or the actual wall plate of that mixer is in the wall.
Yes, so. And that's the first thing that actually goes in terms of coming on the job. Is if you've chosen mixers, then they have a body that sits inside the wall and the rest of it's on the front. So they have to have the bit that goes inside the wall. Otherwise, as you're saying, you're not able to then get on with anything else. So if you want a nice rose gold mixer,
I'll try not to do that.
6 to 8 weeks for it.
Yes, exactly.
Right.
So, and I suppose the other thing in your planning stages as well, Australia is predominantly, obviously, our double brick, single brick construction, not stud walls. So you've got to take that in mind. When we, remember we said get the plumbing right?
Mm.
We chase everything. So we chase all our pipes and that into the single brick walls in a bathroom because they're very rarely they're on an, one wall is an external wall, everything else is internal. So that piping is chased into the wall. So getting that location right and making sure everything's in the place, you don't want to go back and fix it.
No, of course.
And that also applies to toilets. I think you've talked about back-to-wall toilets, but the thing is that, you know, in terms of renovating, if you've got an old toilet there that's already got the plumbing in the wall and you choose this nice brand spanking new back-to-wall toilet, be prepared to either move the plumbing or else know that you're going to have to compromise and change your mind.
Correct. Well, Laura and I have actually had that issue come up in a job where it was being retrofitted. So the room stayed as it was. We were just taking the toilet out and putting it back in. Now, the problem was finding a toilet where we didn't change the plumbing and it had to cover the tiles because the tiles didn't get moved and it had to be a certain distance from the wall because of the waste drain was actually at the back of it and right next to it. So you couldn't do a back-to-the-wall toilet because they were too wide and we'd cover that drain. So these are things to really look at. Retrofitting a toilet is not an easy thing.
And I think people assume that you can just go in, pick any toilet you like, and say, yep, that's mine, and I want that one. But unfortunately, that is not the case, because it's not just about where your water comes in for the plumbing. It's also about where your waste goes out.
Correct. Mm.
So there will be an existing hole in the floor that the waste pipe goes through, and we need to know the distance from the wall to the middle of that pipe, because that's how we measure toilet set-outs, we call them. And every toilet is different.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to find one with a set-out that's actually going to cover the existing waste that you've got.
And there's different types, isn't there? There's an S type, a P type, a skew, if I remember rightly.
S trap goes down through the floor.
Yep.
If you've got one that goes out through the wall, that's a P-trap. That's usually, though, in apartment buildings, places where there's ducting.
One of those,
and
the skew.
Then, unfortunately, you get the skews, which are the weird anomalies where the pipe actually comes out of the side.
Mm. Which is,
and we've had ones where people have had a toilet in a left-hand corner of a room and a pipe that's gone all the way through the room and out onto the other side of the room.
Another example is
outrageous.
We had a skewed toilet that we had to find, and there was only two toilets to choose from, and we could only go with one because of the distance from the wall to the centre of that pipe. So there was literally, and this is a complex of units where I was working, so there was over 50 units that would all have this. So because it's all ducted piping, you can't just change the plumbing.
No.
And these were not a cheap toilet. So to change this toilet, we had a choice of one.
Uh-huh.
I think, it's fantastic going in with your ideas and a feeling of what you want and a look that you like, but you really do have to be prepared to compromise. And I've said that before, but it's very true, because the practicalities of it against the aesthetics are two very different things. You know, it has to fit.
Correct.
It has to work. And maybe that lovely whatever it is that you saw isn't going to work in that instance.
No.
So have a plan B.
Yes, have a plan B.
But
we're good at giving you plan Bs. We're good at options.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. There's plenty of choice out there. So don't fixate on the one thing. Like the trends at the moment are the black mats finishes.
As well as the metal colours.
Yeah, and the rain shower heads. They're another thing. Because we were talking about walking showers, so the rain shower heads.
And particularly twins, actually, is the thing at the moment.
Yes.
Twin showers, where you have a pole that goes up the wall that has a big overhead shower and it has a hand shower attached to it. So those are very much on trend, which is fantastic if you're putting in new. But if you're retrofitting, then there's sometimes a problem because you have to use the existing water outlet.
Correct.
Quite often, if your rail shower is in the middle of your shower, your water outlet would be to the left or the right-hand side.
Correct.
So then if you're trying to attach a pole to it, you're going to end up with your shower right over on the left or on the right. So
it's finding again, it's the right product to right, suit the situation, or you change your plumbing.
Change your plumbing.
So that's why it's all in the plumbing.
Yep.
And choosing the fixtures and fittings to make sure you get the end result that you want.
Well, what about basins? We've done toilets, showers. What about basins?
Yeah, basins come in so many different types now, and that's the thing. So, again, you need an idea of what sort of style you're looking for, whether you want one where they cut a hole and drop it in, whether you do an under-counter one, which comes up from underneath. Be aware that you have to have a stone top for that. You can't use a Laminex top because that would be ruined by the water.
Correct.
Very popular at the moment are counter basins, which literally sit on top of your unit.
Otherwise known as above vanity.
Yep. Mm-hmm. So, and when you do that, then of course you have to consider the tapware because, you know, a normal basin, an old inset basin would just have holes in it that you can put a tap in, which is fantastic. Mm-hmm. If you choose a nice above counter basin, you've either got to look at bringing your taps off the wall to get over the basin or having a very tall mixer behind it.
A tower mixer.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, again, the plumbing has to change according to the basin that you choose. Also be aware that basins do not come with plugs in them. They come with a hole. A lot of people think like it just all comes together, which it doesn't. And
you
and
need to choose.
Some people say, do the taps come with this?
No. Choose your plug and waste.
Choose the plug and waste.
And you've got the push down one now for your basins, or you've got the old standard put the plug in, or you've got the push down plug and waste, the chrome ones that people see in a lot of the sinks now, and you can get them for your baths as well as your basins. So
it always sees up and gets stuck. And
they do, but then there are some really good ones on the market where the whole internals pull out, so that the spring doesn't get stuck down, which is fantastic. But you also have to consider when you're buying your plug, the size of hole in the basin, because some are 32 and some are 40.
Right.
And some of them have an overflow and some don't.
Correct.
So the plug has to be the correct plug to fit the configuration of the basin.
All right.
So.
Now, you brought up about the TV shows. Mm. There are a couple of items that we've talked about that you can't use in WA.
Yeah.
Can you mention what they are? Because I think we see them on TV.
Yeah,
but
well, one of them is garbage disposal units or trash disposal units, which go into your kitchen sink and gobble up all the
yummy
rubbish.
Stuff.
And they are allowed to be used over east, but they do not conform to the WA standards, so they cannot be installed here. It's actually illegal to install them.
Mm-hmm.
And the other thing is what they're called the douche sprays, which are little sprays that sit at the side of the toilet to help with washing.
Mm.
And they are absolutely and utterly forbidden here in WA. And the reason for that and for the garbage disposal thing is something called backwash prevention.
Yep. Which we've actually spoken about with Matt with the reflux valves on their walk-in showers.
So, for instance, with the little douche spray, if somebody accidentally drops the handpiece into the toilet, you can then suck the sewage water into your drinking system.
Oh.
And not even your drinking system, but the whole street's drinking system.
Right.
So that is why,
And that's a water corporation area as well. So that's something
that's
come
from. That's a hazard, isn't it?
Mm.
Yeah.
And a lot of people that go overseas or to Japan or and other places in Asia, they see the little sprays on the wall and they want them.
Mm.
And it's really hard to explain to people that, you know, it's because they don't really understand that part of it. So, and again, I think that there are some people that have got them.
Mm-hmm.
And so, my friend's got one, you know, but. Yeah,
and we've all got to comply to those standards where, for legality reasons and for insurance purposes reasons and all of that.
Yeah. So. A good contractor will know that, though. Is
correct.
That correct?
Yes,
correct.
Yeah, but it's, you know, if you're doing it yourself, it's not something that you would think to ask. You need to ask, you know, is this compliant? Can I use this?
Yeah, well, when we talk about getting your inspiration at the onset, that's where people like Laura, they've got this knowledge. So talk to them, ask them the questions, and they will definitely help you.
Fabulous. Again, fabulous information, and thank you for joining us on Renovating in WA. Sue Daly from Into Property and Laura Crosthwaite from Reece Plumbing, proud station sponsors.
Thank you, Sally.
Thank you very much.